Before we get started on Wednesday's show, I want to tell you the podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go in, get the lunch specials, get the ribs at night, take advantage of the 49-cent bottomless refills when you buy the Stadium Cup, that and much, much more. The convenience store right there on Highway 6 West. Also, the Oxford Crystal is next door. So everything you need from a convenience and a food standpoint there with the Oxford Exxon and the Oxford Crystal. We are sitting in the Clark Ford studio. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. That's Highway 25 South. Give Corey Clark a call. 15 minutes, you're going to get a quote. You can shop it around. You can take it. When you do take that deal, right at the very end, mention the podcast, $500 off when you mention the Oxford Exxon podcast to Corey there at Clark Ford. So great customer service. Great dealing with Corey and those people at Clark Ford. Now on to the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. This morning, we are going to talk, obviously, about Rich Rodriguez, hired as the Ole Miss offensive coordinator. Bowl season almost over. Only, I guess, the national championship left at this point, or do we have some other scragglers, Neil, or is that it? I don't even know. We always do the picks the day of, so I don't really know what's coming ahead of that. Are we done before the national championship game now?
Yes.
We are? Okay.
It's mercifully over.
That's a fair way to put it. I don't mind that at all. So we'll get you caught up on things. We'll talk about whatever here on today's show. Back to a normal schedule. Hope everyone had an excellent Christmas, an excellent holiday season. We had one show last Thursday, I believe, the one in between the two. But now back on regular schedule, so you'll get us three times this week. I'm assuming Jeffrey will jump back on with us in the morning. I haven't spoken to him since the weekend. He was in town for a wedding that was on New Year's Eve. We'll get him back on tomorrow, and we will be back with you. So appreciate allowing the little hiatus there. And again, hope everyone had a good Christmas, good New Year's, safe. You're only on day two or three of all your resolutions, so hopefully you still keep those intact. I see, Neil, where you again are just going the route of just kind of be better. Just kind of be better all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, I fail enough as it is.
So don't set parameters.
To start, hey, let me set myself up for some new failure. I have plenty of just consistent failure. I don't need new failure.
I saw somebody on the internet yesterday say that about 8% of people follow their resolutions all the way through until New Year's Eve.
I'm shocked it's that high.
Yeah, it said 8%.
See, I mean, I should do things like this year I will not eat bananas. I would get that every year.
Well, you throw about 27 of those in, and then you throw like two real ones in. That way you're going to hit a really high percentage no matter what.
This year I'll hate the Cardinals again. This year I'll cheer against the Warriors in every game. This year I will not eat mayonnaise. It's good. I mean, those are things
aioli?
I can do. Not particularly.
Okay.
Not particularly, no.
What if it's like a horseradish mayo or something with some spice in it?
No, I just typically...
Still no mayo
base? I will
base.
Say, so put it on the side, and I might look at it, and then I'll just kind of do my own thing.
Just kind of curious.
I'm more of a substitute mustard for mayonnaise person.
Yeah. Will you run a marathon in 2019?
I doubt it. I'm going to look into it. I've got to be able to... So I ran 7 miles in D.C. one day. And I was surprised that I was able to get through the run because I hadn't run in a while, certainly not that kind of distance. But some of that tightness in my quad, hip, core area.
That you've dealt with for years and years and years.
It came back up again. I don't know that I want to battle that for 6 months of training.
Because you will have at least 2 months of recovery to that where your body will suck.
Yeah, and I don't know. My problem in recovery is that I gain so much freaking weight. So I don't know. I'm better off just kind of maintaining.
5 is a weirdly, it's a prime number, but it's a weirdly more achievable. There's something about 5 that is not 4. I don't know why.
I don't either.
The whole multiple of 10 thing, I guess, or whatever.
I guess.
That's the, maybe you'd run 10.
No, I'm not running 10. If I run one more, it would be literally for that purpose alone.
Just because it's a...
Just because the number sounds so much better than four.
Yeah, because when you run four, the first question's, why four?
But on my fourth, I remember thinking to myself throughout that run, unlike the other runs...
Was that Big Sur?
It was Chicago.
Oh, you went back to Chicago. Time. Okay, gotcha.
So why am I doing this? This is so stupid. It's hot. You don't feel good. Just why are you doing this? And so I know that if I'm running a fifth, I'll tell you this, I'll wake up that day if I ever decide to do it. Even if I train for it and I wake up and it's 72 degrees, I'm out.
Day of.
Not doing it. Go find a bar. I'm not running sick.
You'd push yourself through
No, I wouldn't. If I saw it's hot, not doing it. That was miserable.
Okay.
If I saw it was 38 degrees, I'm all in. But 78, out.
78, out.
And for people to go, well, 78's not that hot. It is when you run 26 miles.
You'd like 50.
I've run 1 in 50, 52 degrees and sunny, and a nice little cool breeze. Not wind, just a breeze. It was fantastic. I ran one 45-ish and a light rain.
That's still okay.
That was glorious.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've run one in great weather, but Big Sur was just a nightmare. The weather was perfect, thank God.
The course was not.
The course was not. And then I've run one in Chicago when muggy and in the 70s, and it was freaking miserable.
The temperature thing is always the worry for everybody, and it's the halves that I've always picked out is going to New Orleans because you go, well, it's flat. But you also might get that 80-degree day in New Orleans where you're in a swamp for a day, and yeah. It would suck.
Well, and it's not a dry 80.
No,
it's that muggy, drain you 80 degrees. Like, the people that run that marathon, I'm like, well, you are just playing roulette.
You are.
There's a chance you get great weather. And there's a chance you get the worst possible
They're focused
weather.
On the terrain, that it's flat. That's the goal. Well, that's the reasoning for the
And
day.
It is flat. But
however, there's some cobblestone in there. I mean, you can turn an ankle. I mean, it's a little bit of an obstacle course too, though, at the same time.
Yeah, it's Chicago. The only problem with it is the crowd. It's so packed. It's just so many people. Like, you have a hard time finding your little spot. The one in Minnesota was awesome. I got in my own little world, just running right down there along Lake Superior. The weather was perfect. There's just a little drizzle. It was great. I could do that one again.
Come back after a week and we talk about marathons for 6 minutes. All right, jump in. We'll go all over the place. It's kind of a rehash day, kind of a catch-up day here on the show. And I thought this was sort of funny. So the end of last week, I guess this was Friday night, it's stuff is sticking together in such a way right now that I can't keep anything straight. But Rich Rodriguez is in town. Bucky Perkins on Twitter, his brother, he's just sitting on a bar stool. And gets a picture of Rich Rodriguez and Matt Luke having drinks at the Graduate on, I guess, Friday night? On Friday night. On Saturday morning, he had another picture of them apparently walking into a conference room or a meeting room, again on the bar stool on Saturday morning. I had talked to someone who had spotted them at Big Bad Breakfast on Saturday morning. And the first thing that kind of went through my head here.
You got live play-by-play of breakfast.
I did. I had more information than I let out at the time on the internet machine. So, as it's going through my head, I said, okay, he went to dinner with Mike McIntyre when he hired him, but it was a lot more low-key. It wasn't like this. I thought, Matt's going to BBB on a Saturday morning. It's packed. It's going to be packed. This thing is either getting done in a day or there's no chance in the world it's getting done, and he just wants everybody to know he's at least trying. And it's one or the other. It's nothing in the middle. It is, I don't care who sees me because he's going to be the offensive coordinator, or, look, I've got Rich Rodriguez in town and I'm taking a shot here. One or the other. And that's kind of went through my head.
I've got my theory on this.
We soon found out that it was the former and not the latter.
I think it was my theory. I'm hiring him. If there's going to be a backlash, let's find out now.
There wasn't going to be a backlash.
Nah, of course not. But he had the thing at Arizona that with the
sexual harassment deal. Catch everybody up here real quick on this, just to get it out of the way, because frankly, I don't want to talk about it anymore. is a okay.
Well, I don't know enough about it to talk about it.
Well, in Michigan, he had an NCAA thing that involved them practicing too much. Trust me, everyone breaks that rule. You only get caught with that rule when someone wants to catch you with that rule, and someone turns you in, and it gets kind of stupid.
Had some disgruntled players.
He did. Yes. And that's what happened there. I mean, he's not the head coach. I don't care. Whatever. Move on with your day.
But this does bear repeating for anybody who thinks, well, they break rules. Every single program in the country not only breaks the 20-hour rule, they take it, they throw it against the concrete, and then they take a sledgehammer and they start breaking up the shards of glass. Then, when they get done, they bring out a steamroller and roll straight over the now minuscule shards of glass. Before grinding it into a powder and then blowing it off laughing. Everyone violates that rule. Not only do they violate it usually double.
So then at Arizona, he was charged with sexual harassment of an administrative assistant at the University of Arizona. The school has cleared him of all those charges. He admitted to some marriage stuff, whatever, and that was it. So there's nothing hanging over Rich Rodriguez from a penalty standpoint or anything else. Frankly, he needs a reset. He needs to go somewhere and be pretty good as an assistant to find a way into another head job. That's what Rich Rodriguez needs. That's what Ole Miss provides. And at the same time, Ole Miss gets a known guy. They get an energetic guy. They get a guy who has been known as sort of the forefront and the leader of this run-first spread offense over the last 15 years or so. Really more than that. He did it with Sean King at Tulane. He did it with Woody Dantzler at Clemson. And then he got Pat White and the whole West Virginia thing where it really, really took off. Went to two BCS bowls, I think, at West Virginia. Won a ton of football games. Got the Michigan gig. Did not go well. However, I will say he did win two more games each year that he was at Michigan. He went from 3 to 5 to 7 over that three-year period. And then at Arizona, he won the Pac-12, or at least his division in the Pac-12 in 2014. He was the Pac-12 Coach of the Year at one point there as well. Kind of a side note, Ole Miss has two of the last five Pac-12 Coaches of the Year on their staff right now between he and McIntyre. And then it unceremoniously ended basically as a kind of a financial thing too, because everybody talked about him being one of the top five or six highest paid coaches in the country because he was on the books getting $6 million for that 2017 season. He got somewhere around $3 million. The way this thing was worked is I looked this up in USA Today the other day. I talked about it on our live show that sort of went out in the middle of it because YouTube messed up. But there was a benefactor that was giving certain amounts of money to certain people at Arizona. And for him to get that full $6 million, he had to still be employed on March 15th of 2018. He was not employed on March 15th, 2018. So he got about $3 million for 2017, not $6 million. But signed a three-year deal here. That'll be a fully guaranteed. It won't include a buyout. It'll just be guaranteed like a lot of the other contracts we talk about here at Ole Miss. And somewhere around $1 million a year. I don't have the exact number, but give or take seven figures. So that's kind of where we are right now.
He checks a lot of boxes that I think Matt Luke was looking to check offensively. I wrote some of this already in 10 Thoughts. I'll reiterate it here for those that didn't read 10 Thoughts. Matt wants to put the ball on the ground more, wants to run it, wants to be more physical, does like some spread concepts. The people that thought being physical meant line up in the I formation and hammer at Alabama, well, he's not going to try to do that. But I think you can go back and you can look at that old West Virginia offense to a degree. It was Pat White, Steve Slayton. I think the kid's name was Divine. It was a little
Noel Divine.
Yeah, a short kid could really run.
Mm-hmm.
They utilized him in space quite well. I've told the story. I was in Mobile. Pat White is from Daphne, Alabama, which is right across the bay from Mobile. And I went to Morgantown a couple of times and saw kind of that offense did massive. This is your life, Pat White stories. And they had it rolling. I mean, it's one of the questions I'd love to ask him is do you ever wish you just stayed? I mean, the grass is always greener. And
Michigan comes calling. And
Michigan paid more money, and I think he had grown frustrated with some of West Virginia's refusal to grow and some of those things. And
also, we had a lot of frustration with just with, you know, he had the one year there where he could have gotten in, the year that LSU won it, that everything kind of turned sideways. I think that was that year. But
yeah, I think they lost to Pittsburgh at the end.
But otherwise, you kind of run that same thing as in a much larger scale that Kermit Davis is dealing with, right? You know, that he dealt with at Middle Tennessee of, hey, you got to be perfect at that job. Let's get somewhere where you're a name and all of a sudden you're going to get that benefit of the doubt in Michigan that you wouldn't get at West Virginia.
And Michigan's proven to be a really hard job. He was turns out to be one of the first people to prove that Michigan's a lot harder job than people think it is. Jim Harbaugh says hello.
Brady Hoke.
Yeah. I mean, guys who've won. People make fun of Jim Harbaugh all you want. Dude went to the Super Bowl. He's not a bad football coach. And he can't get it done there. So it's not just – I get wanting to make fun of Jim Harbaugh because of his goofy hat and the goofy pants and all of that stuff. I get it. But there is something about Michigan that makes Michigan a harder job than people think it is. I don't know what that is. I have no idea. Anyway, what they did at West Virginia was pretty good stuff. And he had a lot of success at Arizona with Khalil Tate, who is supposedly on the transfer market. May or may not be something to follow. I don't know.
Manu Solomon threw the ball around, too. That's one thing with Rodriguez is when he's had a passing personnel on offense, he has thrown it. He's not tried to fit the whole, you know, square peg round hole.
Nah, he's a really bright offensive mind. He knows what he's doing. He's a good coach. I've heard people say, well, you know, this is going to be just a stop. Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Let's say it's just a stop. That means it went well. That's good.
It's the equivalent of when the smaller school is scared to death of hiring the guy they're going to lose. Hire him and then find the next one. That's what you do.
Absolutely. If you're Arkansas,
he can only leave when he wins.
If you're Arkansas State or Louisiana Tech or something, hire the hot young guy, let him win, let him leave, help pack his bags, pat him on the backside on the way out and say, good luck, coach, and then go hire the next guy.
Arkansas State did this. They had Freeze. They had Malzahn. It's just run through him. Boom, 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 go.
So there's nothing wrong with that. So if he has success and leaves to become a head coach again, cool. Same with Mike McIntyre. Quite frankly, if you told Matt Luke, hey, in 4 years, these guys are still coordinator-level coaches, something may not have gone well. If you tell me that in 2 years, Mike McIntyre and Rich Rodriguez are head coaches again, then something tells me this program is back on steady footing.
Mm-hmm. It's also a credit to Matt Luke that you bring in two guys like this because you're – relative to the SEC, an inexperienced head coach at this point, and you brought in two big personalities, two guys that have had a lot of accolades over the years. Again, National Coach of the Year honor kind of stuff, carried teams to major bowls, and you're bringing him to run. I mean, it allows Matt Luke to be a CEO. It allows him to give each side of the ball to these respective guys and let them do their business, but you got to put your ego at the door to do that. You don't hire McIntyre and Rodriguez if you're planning on trying to micromanage or have some type of ego in that football building.
I don't want to be the guy that goes, well, I talked to Matt, and so I don't want to violate private conversations, but I can tell you that this does, if anybody had any doubt, it's really the funny thing about the thing that people criticize Matt for is they do the, well, he loves Ole Miss, that's why he's got the job. Matt wants to win. Matt really wants to win. Let's tell you in on a little secret. This cat wants to win. And he's not afraid. He's not worried about who gets the credit for winning. It's going to come across as a backhanded slap, but I don't really mean it as that. There's no way to do it without it doing it. Matt Luke's predecessor would never have made either one of these hires. Not in a gazillion years. And I do mean never, ever. Hell no, because he cared about who got the credit. He's a good football coach, cared about who got the credit. If you told Matt Luke that in 2020 Ole Miss won 7 or 8 games or more and everybody was coming to Oxford to write stories about Mike McIntyre and Rich Rodriguez, he'd say, cool, I'll give you all the supporting quotes you want.
Yeah.
He wants to win. It's not about loving Ole Miss. It's not about trying to save his gig. He wants to win. Not saying he's going to win. Not saying he's not going to win. He's going to try to win. And he's hiring people who he thinks can help him win. And also, it's a, you and I both like politics. Whether you love Ronald Reagan like my grandmother, if you walked into my grandmother's house and you said something negative about Ronald Reagan, you pretty much were going to get escorted That's to the it. Door. Whether you love Ronald Reagan or you think Ronald Reagan was the American version of Hitler, it's up to you. Either way, the one thing that he did, this was a man that we turns out probably was battling some early onset dementia, Alzheimer's type stuff. How did he avoid all of that becoming a problem? He surrounded himself with excellent people, with bright people. He was never concerned about being the smartest guy in the room. He surrounded himself with great people. Great presidents typically do. Bad presidents typically don't. Give Luke a lot of credit. He is trying, and some people say a year too late, and I think begrudgingly he would probably admit that. But he is trying to surround himself with really good people. This is a guy who now will be able to walk into a room at a minimum, at least as of this point, walk into a room and he's going to have a former National Coach of the Year who's coached at San Jose and at Colorado, and a former National Coach of the Year who's been a head coach at West Virginia, Michigan, and Arizona. And he's got a guy who's been the head coach at Louisiana Tech in that room where he can bounce ideas off of. There's literally nothing that can happen inside Matt Luke's program right now, good or bad, that hasn't happened to Bicknell, Rodriguez, or McIntyre. That is a resource, man. Hugh Freeze would never admit it, but if he had had that resource, he might still be rolling at Ole Miss today.
Rich Rodriguez has 5 division or conference championships and has been named Coach of the Year 3 times.
Yeah. And I know that there will be a backlash on the message board today with how dare you say that. Why do you have to take shots at Hugh Freeze? I'm not taking the shot at Hugh Freeze. I'm pointing out an attribute of Matt Luke's that, in case people wondered what this guy was all about, now you know. And it's not he wants Ole Miss to win. Yeah, he wants Ole Miss to win because he's wearing Ole Miss on his shirt right now. But he wants to win. He's a competitor. He wants to win. That's why I pushed back a little when people got upset about Dan Wilkins' recent tweet. It was right. Matt Luke's reputation in the coaching business is that he has no ego. That's not a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
And these are people who are strong-willed guys who at times have had reputations of being hard to work with. And it will be fascinating to see how that sort of unfolds over the course of the next year, because it's a young coach without a whole hell of a lot of head coaching experience on a staff where he's the leader of a staff that has a ton of head coaching experience.
Continue the Rich Rodriguez conversation in a minute. First, I want to direct you to a website. So starting with us today, Scripted Jewelry, scriptedjewelry.com allows you to handcraft items to order. You can send in handwriting, fingerprints, different things, get it put on, anything you want, anything from key fobs to necklaces to pendants to rings to you choose. So go to the website. Just look at it. Prices are great. Turnaround times are great as well. I know Neil used it.
Oh, you got to let me tell people about this, because Jimmy the Elf used this this year, and it was really cool. So Jimmy the Elf sent a note to Campbell and Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
That note was put on the front of the necklace.
Okay.
Jimmy's signature is on the back of the necklace.
Ooh.
And they turned it around really quickly. The girls love it.
Got it back for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Way before that. I mean, it was packaged in time for Jimmy to come before Christmas.
You got Valentine's coming up. You got birthdays. You got graduation coming up. Be really neat graduation stuff, potentially.
Yeah, for the girls already, it's a conversation piece.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. They do great work. They let you know every step of the way what's coming. They got your order. Your order's being processed. Your order's been sent. It's fantastic people. They did a really cool job. I couldn't have been more pleased with it, and the girls were really excited. So if it's birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, graduations, that kind of stuff. Man, it's really cool. You should check it out. And the website's fantastic. It's just really well done.
Yeah, go check it out. It's at scriptedjewelry.com. We'll tell you more about that in the coming days. The podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option that you know about by now. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's the sponsor of my 10 weekend thoughts, which are they're still up on the site. I guess I posted them on New Year's Eve night. They're up. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And guest will join us. Jeffrey will join us tomorrow on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law, specialize in personal injury law and real estate law. But theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. So when you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm. That's who will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call at 662-526-1962 or check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free.
If you read one thing today, I recommend Greg Doyle's column on Tyler Trent, who passed away yesterday. Greg had got to know him pretty well over the last few months. We've talked about Greg a lot. Used to be a national columnist for CBS. Has been with the Indy Star for a while and does great human interest stories. Another one there on a story that's tragic, uplifting, and a lot of things all at the same time. So if you read something, make it Greg Doyle's column this morning, but it'll probably be sitting down and have a minute when you do it. Just a suggestion there. So, all right.
Adrian Wojnarowski wrote a really good Tyler Trent column as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Rich Rodriguez. We've joked about this. You have no idea where your Rich Rod story is at this point that you wrote back in the day. Lost on some computer somewhere, I'm sure. We'll ask it this way, though. You obviously been up there. You've been around him. He'd given you time. It's been 10, 12 years, whatever. It's been 12 years since he turned down the job at Alabama. Crazy how things change in decades and or dozens of years. What was sort of your impressions, though, at that point? I mean, what do you kind of remember from that time?
Had West Virginia rolling. They were a power program at that point. I remember being around their kids. It was a fun program. It was August up there, and
he gave you a day at one point, right?
Yeah, what happened was I went to their Saturday practice. So I got into Pittsburgh like on a Thursday night, and I went to a Pirates-Cardinals game on Thursday night and then got up on Friday and I drove to Morgantown. And I was in Morgantown all day Friday, and on Saturday morning I was walking around in downtown Morgantown, and I slashed my foot open and had to go get it all stitched up. And so I'm at their practice that afternoon and was kind of in pain, really, and did a bunch of stuff with their kids. And he gave them Sunday off. And Shelley Poe, you remember her? She's at Auburn now.
I do know her about, yes.
She was the SID at West Virginia. And she called me at my, I guess either at my hotel or on my cell phone. I can't remember. It's been a gazillion years. and said, hey, Coach Rod practiced, canceled the practice today. If you guys want to come up, it was me and I think Gary Klein with the LA Times was in town. If you guys want to come up, he's got time for you. And we just went to his office and hung out. Talked for a long time. He was really laid back. It was on the record, but I think Gary wrote a lot of it. I didn't need it. You know what I mean? I wasn't doing a big West Virginia story. I was doing a big Pat White story. And I got everything I needed on Pat and all that stuff. And, you know, went and did some of the coal mine stuff that day and just never really used it and had it. And then the whole vasectomy story happened and stuff. But what I remember about him was just they were rolling. I mean, I remember thinking, I don't know whether this guy's ever going to leave West Virginia, but he's turned West Virginia into a power. Because here was the thing about Pat, and I think Pat White would tell you this. Pat White was an exceptional athlete. He was an elite baseball prospect. People were had that conversation about, is he going to play baseball? Is he going to play football? What's he going to do? Pat was a phenomenal high school quarterback. But they ran the ball at Daphne. Pat's throwing arm is average to below average. He wasn't the guy that went out there throwing he wasn't Drew Locke out there making throws. Let's put it that way. And LSU wanted Pat White, wanted him badly because they wanted to put him at wide receiver. Auburn wanted Pat White, wanted him badly, but they wanted to put him at wide receiver. Alabama didn't recruit Pat White. Didn't think he could play quarterback at the SEC level. Sylvester Croom was at Mississippi State. I think had just gotten there and late offered him as a quarterback, if I recall correctly.
Croom's first year would have been 04, I believe.
And that's about the time that Pat came out. So it makes sense.
I think Sherrill's last game was Eli's Egg Bowl. Last Egg Bowl.
That's correct. So Sylvester Croom, if I remember right, State offered him at the end as a quarterback. But by then, he was pretty far down the road and was done. So he goes to West Virginia, and he and Steve Slayton and Noel Devine and those cats, they had some other cats. They were good. But they just ran on people. I just remember watching them play. I can't remember who they played the day I was there. They just ran all over them. They didn't throw it much. He threw it a little. But Pat was an average quarterback throwing the ball. He was an elite athlete, could really run. So before anybody does the whole, well, they can make any quarterback a great runner. And you got to have some speed. And Pat could fly. I mean, his speed tool as a baseball player was up in the 70s. He could really run. I just remember that. They were a dominant offense without a dominant passing game. They were fun to watch. That damn Steve Slayton was a stud in college. I mean, and they just created space. And they got fast guys into open space, and guys would miss a tackle, and off to the races they would go. And Morgantown was fun, man. They packed that place, and it was a little crazy. People are a little crazy up there.
Burning the couches.
The couch burning stuff, and it was fun. I remember going up there and thinking it's kind of a fun place. I mean, I didn't want to live up there but or anything like that, but it was kind of fun. He had them going, and then the Alabama thing happened, and they were pissed at him. And then the Michigan thing happened, and they got real pissed at him. And that's why when this deal with Holgorsen leaving for Houston came up, there were people out there, and I don't mean just fans making it up. I mean, there were media types and some agent types and stuff that were saying, hey, don't completely count out a return. There are people there at West Virginia who would love to have him back, see if they can recapture the magic. And again, it's pretty obvious that's not going to happen, but the people that were saying that over the weekend, they weren't making it up.
Quick aside there. I mean, it makes tons of sense for Holgorsen, frankly, because they've got an AD that did not hire him. they refused, even after coming off this season, to really give him that long-term deal to kind of reset him. Now he can go to Houston and have a complete reset and talk about a place that is in love with him already. So, I mean, that it fits all the way up and down.
Yeah, it's always good to be
paying him a lot of money.
It's always good to be new.
$4 million a year. Honeymoons are good.
Honeymoon's good.
If you can get a new honeymoon, get a new honeymoon.
Get a new honeymoon without having to pay a divorce on the old one.
Yeah.
Not having to pay any alimony.
Yeah. Were you a bit of a pack rat? I mean, how lucky was it that you still had all that stuff?
Pure luck.
Yeah. Especially back then when, I mean, your recorder's not going to have a lot of memory on it back then.
Something told me to save that tape. And I did. I put that little...
It was legitimately a tape?
Yeah, it was a tape.
Was it?
Yeah. I took the little tape out and I put it in the little... It was a little bitty tape.
Yeah, I know, Sean.
And I put it in the thing and I remembered where it was. Because that's why when that day that... I guess that was Randy Kennedy goes, I need you to be in Tuscaloosa tomorrow. And I was like, ah, damn, man, I've got this planned. I've got this scheduled. I've got an appointment. I need to do this. We've talked about this. I've cleared this. I need you to go. And I was like, well, and it clicked in the back of my mind. You've got a bunch of Rodriguez stuff. And I remembered where I put the – I remembered where the tape. I knew where the tape was, and I didn't throw away notebooks back then.
Oh, really?
And I knew – I didn't know where it was.
General vicinity.
But I knew it was in one of the stacks of notebooks that I would keep for a little while. And I said, what if – and I did the whole deal. And I guess at that point he just showed mercy. Because he was like, you know, it is.
But it was better than anything you'd have gotten from a stupid press conference.
Yeah, you weren't getting anything at the press conference where everybody stands up and goes, this is going to be the beginning of a new era. It's awesome. Everyone's happy. They've got the greatest coach. This is the greatest. We're the greatest. Like you're going to hear at every new coach press conference. I mean, Manny Diaz is officially the dream for Miami until he loses some games and then he's not. It's that deal. So I was like, it would be good and I'll have it ready. And so I went and found it, and I found the notebook, and I transcribed the stuff. And no, I don't still have that notebook. And no, I don't still have that tape. And I have absolutely no idea where in the world I would find that story.
Well, because it never ran.
Right. It was on a computer that wasn't my computer. It was a company computer. And when I left the press register, I turned that computer in, and in fact, I think I had another press register computer after that one. So
it's gone.
It's
you never
long
thought,
gone.
Hey, let's print this out and hold on just for the sure sake that in 12 years I'm going to be covering Rich Rodriguez
and the email account that I sent that to.
Oh well, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just no way. Impossible.
What was the gist of it?
Just about him. What the impact he'd had in the state of West Virginia and what the winning had meant in the wake of that coal mine disaster. Just what he meant to that community.
I mean, good stuff.
It was good stuff. What he was like. Those kids loved him. I can't remember the defensive kid's name. It was a defensive lineman. African-American kid with this magnetic smile. That's all I remember about him. I don't know his name. He gave me just phenomenal stuff about Rodriguez that I kind of used a lot because, you know, Rodriguez has that offensive personality and the defensive guys really liked him. They just liked the way he ran his program. Again, that's one of the things I remember about them as a program in, like, what was that, 06, 07? They had fun. I guess it was 06. Maybe 05, 06.
I think 07 was the year that he got really close to winning the thing.
Yeah, they just had fun. That's what I remember about them. They had fun.
Which is it's an attribute now. I mean,
you know, and I don't
know. In 05, they went 11-1, went to the Sugar Bowl. In 06, they went 11-2 and went to the Gator. And then in 07, they went 10-2 and went to the Fiesta.
Yeah.
But pretty sure maybe the 07 team was the one that I'm talking about for some reason.
And the year that I went up there and did a lot of stuff was 06.
In 07, they played in they played Pitt and lost 13-9
at the end.
That would have probably gotten them in because LSU got in with two losses.
Yes.
So they lose 13-9, and then they beat Oklahoma pretty bad in the Fiesta Bowl after that. Their only loss earlier in the year was to South Florida, who that was that run from coach's name. Slipped my mind. It's South Florida, won a lot of games.
Oh, Leavitt.
Yeah, Jim Leavitt. They were number 18 in the country at the time and beat West Virginia 21-13 in Tampa there at Raymond James. So a little history lesson for you there. As we kind of move on with the,
I think it's a great hire, though. I do. I don't think there's a negative to it. Now, you wrote a really good piece about what he's inheriting. Bottom line, not much. Not much experience, at the very least. We can have a debate about talent if you would all would like. I really don't want to go there. It's a lose lose. They got to go win on the recruiting front. Rodriguez has to help in recruiting. McIntyre has to help in recruiting. They've got to recruit well. And this is going to be a young team. I will give you my opinion. Tell me whether you agree or disagree.
Okay.
Now, this is complicated because there's a new chancellor at some point coming in, and a new chancellor might walk in swinging an axe. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably stops all of the win or else talk for this season. 6 wins or he's out. 7 wins or he's out. I think that disappears. Because if this is from an administrative, I'm not making fun of fans, but if this is from an administrative standpoint, hey, if we don't win 7, we're firing the coach, then why are you doing this with these contracts?
Mm-hmm.
It tells me that the commitment is there for Matt Luke. At least for a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I completely buy that. We'll transition to that. And in 1 second, we'll take the podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy there on South Lamar. Don't waste your time at the big chains. Go somewhere you're appreciated. They're locally owned and operated. They care about the customers. They've been Oxford's trusted hometown pharmacy for over 40 years and offer many great services such as MedSync, immunizations, free delivery into your home or workplace. Also conveniently located right off South Lamar Boulevard there in Oxford. Transferring your medications is simple. I've done it here in the last couple weeks. They took care of me quickly, and my first couple transactions have gone well as well. So they'll take care of the rest. Just call them at 662-236-2222 and get started.
Home to Suites Oxford is now open and would like to wish everyone a happy new year and invite you to come stay with them in 2019. If you're coming to Oxford to watch Rebel Hoops at the Pavilion, Home to Suites is conveniently located 1 mile from campus just off the old Taylor Road exit. They're offering a 20% discounted rate the entire week of pop-up Oxford. That's January 19th through the 26th. You must call the front desk to receive the discount when booking. It's a pet-friendly hotel, so you not have to leave your four-legged friends behind. They have a designated area for walks, complete with a pet station for your convenience. So be sure to follow them on social media so you do not miss their announcement of when football weekend reservations will open. Step into the new year in style. You really need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. It's the first step in dressing for the job you want, not the job you have. So go to deadsoxy.com, DEADSOXY. Enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 25% off all orders, including sale items. As Dead Soxy continues to grow, they appreciate the continued support of the Rebel Grove community. Dead Soxy is constantly striving to improve their quality, relationships, and customer experience. They will be the first to inform you of all new products and opportunities as they come. So remember to enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 25% off all orders. And Happy New Year from Dead Soxy. My post-game columns, this podcast, also sponsored by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3. Founded in 97, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much, much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's PINNTrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
Podcast is brought to you by the Blow Dry Bar Oxford that is on Jackson Avenue. Give them a call, 662-638-3310, Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 6. Saturday, 10 to 3, voted best new business in Oxford for 2018. And when you mention the podcast, rubbergrove.com, they give you a discount on a blowout and other other offers that they have. So the special lady in your life, go get a gift card for her. If she's around and listening, she'll know what all they do. It's a great time for you both to spend a Saturday. You doing what you want, and her going to the Blow Dry Bar Oxford there on Jackson Avenue. So again, give them a call. See what all they can offer. 662-638-3310. Yeah, you mentioned the what he inherits from an offensive standpoint, and I don't have these figured up, but I'll just kind of guess at it a little bit as I'm staring at the charts. Quarterback, obviously, Jordan Tamu is gone. This is Matt Corral's show, so Ole Miss loses 820 snaps at the quarterback position. They have 69 back, 67 coming from Corral, and then Grant Restmeyer played two snaps last season. They lose D.K. Buford from a running back standpoint. Everybody else back. Scotty Phillips, 514 snaps. Isaiah Wooler played 298 snaps. Sweeney, who just seems like a shell of himself and one of the sadder stories we've covered just from a production standpoint because of injuries, 40 snaps. And then they moved to defense, but Tylan Knight and Armani Linton both back as well should they do something there. We'll kind of be curious to see if Rodriguez tries to make a run at Tylan Knight. He's at least got some of the attributes they've done a good job with over the years with other guys.
Yeah. I'm curious to see whether he's fast enough.
Yeah.
Because he's definitely not big enough.
Right.
So he's got to be super fast.
Tight end position, losing Dawson Knox, who was declared early for the NFL draft, 595 snaps. Octavius Cooley played 257, and then Pellerin played 59. Angel played 12, and then they got a couple snaps from other people as well. And then the big one at wide receiver, obviously, A.J. Brown, 728. DeMarcus Lodge, 634. D.K. Metcalf, 344. He got hurt in the Arkansas game. And even past that, Alex Webber at 86. Floyd Allen played a little bit at 22. Two guys return at the wide receiver position with any kind of meaningful snaps, those being Elijah Moore, who played 403, and Braylon Sanders, who played 328. They were able to redshirt Miles Battle. He played in three or four games and played in 40 snaps at the position as well. And they get back, from a health standpoint at least, to Marcus Gregory. I'll be kind of interested to see what pops from him this season.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what kind of player he is post injuries and the rust and all that stuff.
Then lastly, the one that will be the biggest question mark going into next season from an offensive standpoint is the offensive line. They get the gift with Alex Givens returning. They can slide him out to left tackle if they so choose. He played 805 snaps last year. Ben Brown had a great freshman season, played 723, but they lose 856 from Patterson. They lose 805 from Little. They lose 698 from Rawlings at the center position, which is a huge question mark moving into 2019. And then Jordan Sims, one of their main swing guys, played 313 and is gone as well. Past Givens and Brown, we're talking about Royce Newman at 135 snaps, and then no one else more than 31 after that. So just tons of inexperience, tons of question marks there on the offensive line when you look at anywhere other than Givens and Brown and I guess maybe Newman.
Yeah, I mean, we've done this for a while. I mean, there's no experience at center. There's really no depth to speak of, no proven depth, certainly. It's going to be a challenge. I mean, Jack Bicknell, and assuming he's still there, and Rich Rodriguez and Matt Luke, and they're going to earn their money trying to figure that out up front. They're replacing a bunch of dudes who played a lot of football. There's no way to spin that. There's no sugarcoating it. You go into the season, where's your question marks? Offensive line, big one. That's not the place you want to have the big off. You want to have the big question mark. Not in the SEC or any league. And they have question marks there, lots of them. Doesn't mean you can't answer them, but they're there.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll see. Sean Rawlings played a lot of football. Javon Patterson played a lot of football. Greg Little played a lot of football.
Javon never came off the field.
Neither did Rawlings. And when he did, he got hurt against Vanderbilt early in that game and really was not able to return, which I'm sure ate him up. But look at the fall off. They were not the same up front after Sean got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Probably win the Vanderbilt game if Sean stays in.
That's fair. It's probably fair.
Don't think they were going to beat State regardless, but they had a fall off is my point. And most teams do when they lose their starting center, but this team's going to lose a lot up front going into the spring.
Bowl games are impossible because you never know what team's going to show up or not, but that was an egg laid by State, by the way. That was about as poor as I could play.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I didn't see it.
It was poor. In the fourth quarter, Fitzgerald threw a really nice pass into the end zone. The kid from State hit him in the chest, and he bobbles it, and he ends up getting picked off. So instead of being six, he goes the other way, and that was kind of it. They got the ball back one more time to go in late, and they couldn't get down the field. The big headlines came from that with Colin Hill looking like he went unconscious on the field, and it looks like he came back in the game at one point. So
well, you only have – humans are expendable. Opportunities to win the Outback Bowl or not. I completely get it. You can always go get another running back. You got to win a bunch of games to get back to the Outback Bowl to win that championship.
Georgia looked like crap last night. Just resembled, I'll tell you what they look like. They looked a lot like when Saban played Utah early in his career, where it was just you have the big letdown when you don't get to the game, and then you just no-show in a Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I didn't watch. I'm not sure I watched any yesterday. I know I didn't watch any of that game. Playing the bowl games after the semifinals is kind of anticlimactic.
It does take a little whatever from it, yeah.
I mean, for people like me, and I know this sounds crazy as someone who covers it for a living, but people like me who are sort of casual college football fans, I wasn't as motivated to watch yesterday as I would have been had it been – building up to semifinals. Just me.
Why do you think that changes anything? Because you know Georgia's not playing for the title, so what difference does it make?
Well, I guess my point is...
You're still in that anticipation mode?
Even if... And I know, God, the Sugar Bowl, because it's very, very, very important for the turning of the world to keep the Sugar Bowl at New Year's night. Very important. God knows. Very important. So important.
What's on both of them? The Rose Bowl is not losing their slot either.
No, because the Rose Bowl parade is so important.
And frankly, credit to those bowl games. If you can get it and lock it in, have at it. Pay those guys whatever you can
sure,
get.
Oh, sure, sure. I'm more critical of the people that allow them to get locked in like that.
Well, it's not even the bowls. I think it's the conferences. I think those four comp because you know it wasn't always going to be the Sugar Bowl. Before they kind of reset stuff, it was just the SEC and the Big 12 going, hey, our champions are going to play. We're going to put all them in a bowl game. We're going to create this bowl. It ends up being the Sugar Bowl. I think this comes from SEC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12 more than it does even the bowl games. I think they're just the happy, lucky recipients of all this.
But if you had told me yesterday there was a build-up to the two semifinals.
Yeah.
Or that you were playing the semifinals today.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been more inclined. But I didn't watch Clemson-Notre Dame. Because, frankly, by the time I got home from basketball, the game was over, and I'm not going to sit and watch a game that's already been decided. I watched a decent amount of Alabama-Oklahoma, and at the end of that, it's like, okay, well, there's one game left.
So then you have the reset, and suddenly it's...
You know, I mean, I wasn't watching games on the 30th, and I wasn't watching games on the 31st, and I didn't watch games on...
I was just kind of sitting around yesterday. I watched a lot of LSU-UCF. I watched a good bit of State... I flipped to Kentucky a little bit, but didn't really watch that game. And then actually never even turned Georgia-Texas on. I was on my computer and went to it on the computer for just a minute, and then the score got out of hand, and I left it.
Well, my day yesterday, not that you care, I slept in. Then I watched Tottenham against the team that they beat. I did a Peloton ride.
I hope your kid was with you at least.
Nope. I watched them by myself.
Why?
It was on, and I could watch it as I was warming up to do Peloton. And then I did Peloton, and then I went to Hot Works.
But you don't actually like soccer, so why are you watching
it? I got where I kind of like it.
Do you really?
I like English Premier League. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty entertaining. I went to Hot Works and was there for a couple hours. There's no TVs there. And then when I got back, Laura had cleaned out her closet, and so I was cleaning out mine. And at the end of that, I cooked dinner, and that was it. There was never an opportunity to really turn it on.
We love Hand Raised Guy. I love the meeting room where they said, hey, let's do this. Let's get a giant bull and a bulldog and get them together for a photo op before the game on New Year's Day. Yeah. Everybody good? That nothing could go wrong here, right?
That was so stupid.
They almost got the bulldog killed and then almost got a camera woman killed.
Yeah.
She ducked at the right time or she gets speared by this stupid bull.
Yeah.
Cow, bull, whatever.
I mean, I'm not minimizing the importance of Ugga the 20th or whatever he is. You risked human life there.
That was the fastest I've ever seen Ugga move. Well, he got out of Dodge.
Yeah, shows you that Ugga was like, hey, this might not end well. Something tells me Ugga's heart rate jumped from whatever it normally is to about...
Again, we're not minimizing the life of the dog, but...
No, not at all.
In all honesty, something happens to that dog and... Bevo kills him on the sidelines yesterday. How many people get fired?
A lot.
10?
What if Bevo kills a person?
Well, I know. I mean, look.
It's so stupid.
He's not. It's not even like with Mike or somebody where there's a cage. He's just sort of standing there. I mean, he's always a hazard. We've seen him up close.
Yeah, he's huge. He's a wild animal. Doesn't need to be. That's just not smart. Yeah, I mean, when LSU brought Mike into the stadium, he was in a cage.
My favorite tweet on it last night, though, speaking of, was some guy responding to the video that was going out and goes, yeah, big boy, try that with Mike the Tiger in September. I said, yeah, good point. Take the Tiger, but.
Yeah, that Tiger's one majestic son of a bitch.
He's good. Ugga gets all the press, but I like Mike better.
Oh, it's not even close.
It's a Tiger.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He's gorgeous.
You know, he's so mistreated, though. Petta's all upset. Love to have the life that Mike the Tiger has.
Think Mike ever gets lonely?
I don't know.
Wouldn't mind a...
Well, it's like, you know, North Alabama has two. I think it's Leo and Una. They have two in UNA.
Two Tigers?
Yeah, they have a male and a lion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're lions. They have two lions in their habitat.
So UNA can afford a lion habitat?
Apparently.
That's awesome. Good for them.
They're D1 now. Ole Miss plays them in baseball here in a couple months.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Who knew?
Son of a gun. Where is that? Florence? Huntsville?
Yes, yeah.
Florence.
Will Hall's alma mater.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Full circle, Neil. Full circle. We're all back around.
It's been a hell of a month.
Yes.
Been a hell of a month.
I mean, Matt did shut up a lot of that, if nothing else. So.
He did a really good job.
He did. Two searches did a really good job.
It was imperative that he get this right. I don't think we're done.
Well, they're not completely done because they haven't hired a replacement for Maurice Harris yet.
Right.
No matter what. And I know what you mean. You ain't an addition. But.
Yeah. How do you possibly replace those recruiting results? Who hired him?
It's a great gig for the new guy. You literally can't do worse.
No.
From a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah.
Oh, you signed zero in February? Well, status quo. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you just didn't even bother?
Cool. Frankly, you were more efficient then.
Yeah. Spent less.
Yeah. Go make some copies or something. I don't know. Yeah. Do something.
Yeah. Clean out the coffee pot.
We've continued to hear Middleton there. Continue to hear Panunzio's name is never going to go away ever. So we hear those two a lot. It's kind of all I got, frankly.
Recruiter there.
Yeah.
Need somebody who can go recruit.
That should be that job, is recruit.
Yes.
whether it's somebody who's going to hang with you and recruit well, or whether that's a mercenary, I don't know. Just recruit. Doesn't really matter. Whatever.
There's not a whole lot of tight ends to coach.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, though, I mean, Rodriguez can kind of be a little – he can use a lot of different spots for that H-back tight end kind of role. They frankly need more depth there. That's actually a problem right now.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's sort of – it's Cooley and maybe Gabe Angel right now.
So before you go coach him, you're going to have to go recruit him. So go get a recruiter.
Shelley Myers said yesterday, I want him done with coaching, so – and Urban said he's done, so it's all over. He's never going to coach again. Don't worry about it. Ironed in concrete, Neil.
I just, like Jeffrey said, I was so concerned about his health on that roller coaster. Hope he gets well.
Texas, it's the first 10-win season since 2009.
I don't like them, but they're coming.
You think so?
He's better. Herman's done a good job. They didn't do like that before Herman got there.
Better or real?
I don't know.
I mean, are they a playoff team next year?
Who's real right now? Alabama and Clemson.
And Georgia's real. I'm not going to hold you last night against them.
No.
It's kind of talking out both sides of my mouth because I'm minimizing Texas at the same time that whipped them, but I'm just
– Well, my problem
if you give me Texas or Georgia, I'm still taking Georgia moving forward.
Yeah, I am too. My problem with some of the SEC schools is, God, the SEC is obnoxious. Not the league conference itself. Some of the media who covers the schools obnoxious about this SEC superiority thing. And then when they lose games, they turn around and go, well, but we were flat. Okay, you can't have it both ways. Just shut up.
This bothers you more than it bothers me. I just don't care.
Yeah, just I get sick of it. I get sick of it.
How are you not used to it at this point?
I am used to it. But I'm
okay,
sick of it.
Fine,
but I'm sick of it. I mean, it's like, you know,
it was
the state people all week, there's so much more athleticism and blah, blah, blah. And then when you lose, it's, well, we just had a bad day. Well, you got beat. Whatever. You got beat. It's like UCF talked a lot. I get tired of the people who talk a lot. Just shut up.
UCF is interesting because they talk so much that did not allow people to kind of root for Cinderella. People got annoyed by them because of the talking.
Went from being cute to obnoxious.
At the same time, I fully understand why they did it. And I think I credit them for it, even with – because you're a topic. You're staying in it. Danny White did his job there.
He did.
He promoted it correctly.
I just think they went too far.
And frankly, I kind of wonder if Mackenzie Milton's healthy if they don't win that game yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't see it, so I can't comment.
Wait, no, look, LSU had a lot of guys out. So in this perfect world scenario, you got to give them all those dudes too.
Yeah.
And if both teams are completely healthy, LSU wins. No doubt about that. But Greedy Williams doesn't play. LSU had two guys kicked out for targeting yesterday. I think they were down to their fifth and sixth cornerbacks at one point, and Delpit got kicked out. So their secondary was just so maligned at one point that if Milton's healthy, it might be a game, but whatever. I mean, it is what it is. LSU won. I was surprised by Kentucky yesterday. They played really well for 2.5, 3 quarters and pulled that one out against Penn State.
He did as good of a job as anybody of maximizing his team.
Won 10 games.
With the team that really had no quarterback play.
A&M just beat the crap out of NC State.
They're coming.
They are coming. I think it's fair to say that. At this
They're
point.
Absolutely on it on their way. Probably on the fast track.
A&M or Florida? Who you got?
A&M.
You got A&M even in this division?
Money.
Well, yeah, but this division.
I don't care.
Because you got to beat Alabama to get there.
Well, you got to beat Alabama to get there, but you can get second in the West and be at an elite level fast.
I mean, playoff. If I told you one of those two teams made the playoff first, who you going with?
Well, I mean, an 11-1 A&M that loses to Alabama could make the playoff.
They don't have to play the championship game.
Yeah. I'd say A&M. In front of Florida. Resources are different. I know everybody raves about the Florida job. A&M has more resources.
Well, now that's true.
And they've never been utilized fully. They're about to get utilized fully. And I mean fully.
Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts. Even though Christmas is done, if you're still looking for something for the kids, they will make a custom playground that will entertain your kids for years to come. From simple forts to princess castles to pirate ships, I've seen some of the work they've done, and it's pretty incredible. Let MasterCuts build a base for your child's imagination to run wild. Reach out and schedule a free meeting to see what MasterCuts can build up for you. 662-607-7773 or email them at info@gomastercuts.com.
Podcast also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. Restore serenity to your soul by visiting Soul Spots, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today. And then go to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, sip on a creative craft cocktail, or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. Podcast also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys you'll never forget, or the anniversary trip you'll never forget, you're starting to get ready for the summer, for spring break, whether that's Florida or the Gulf Coast or the Caribbean, whatever it may be, get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. All you do is call John. You give him some parameters. You give him a budget. Let him know kind of what you're thinking about doing, how much you're willing to spend, where you'd like to go, timetable, all of those things. And he'll do the rest. You can stop. You don't have to do all that internet searching. He'll not only handle that for you, he'll come up with things that you would never have found on your own. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And don't forget, when you call OUB, ask about their commercial checking account. It's now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account, and it comes with fully interactive online banking. To learn more, call OUB at 662-234-6668 or check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com. OUB is FDIC insured.
Experience all things Oxford in a week during the third annual pop-up Oxford, January 19th through 27th. Experience a week-long celebration of the cultural scene of art, food, lectures, musical performances, Ole Miss basketball, and more. Also, don't miss the 9th Annual Fiber Arts Festival during Pop-Up Oxford. That's January 24th to 27th. The festival features receptions, conservative lecture, demonstrations, children activities, and classes. So you've got that coming up. The special events include songwriters competitions, hotel hop, art crawl, Thacker Mountain Radio Hour, MLK Day, featured events, the festival I mentioned, Ole Miss basketball book signings, and plenty, plenty more. You can find the website at popupoxfordms.com. How late did you make it on New Year's Eve? Did you see midnight?
No. Carson and I played a game of Madden.
Okay.
It ended around 10:45.
What team did you play with?
I was the Saints.
Are you?
He was the Ravens.
Why was he not the Bears?
I think
whatever. Bad on the game?
No, I think they're actually good on the game because it's the Madden 19. It's the new one.
Okay.
And they've got live. He's got it set up where it's the live stats.
Okay.
I don't know why it was the Ravens. He couldn't find the Bears or something. I don't know. It was late. He was tired. He'd been out the night before and all that. So we played, and then he went to bed. And then I was going to try to go to bed, but their fireworks were loud, and Caroline was babysitting out, so Laura was going to have to get up and go get Caroline. So I was in the bed trying to sleep at midnight.
I had a very similar thing. We got back probably 10:15 from a little get-together thing, and I wanted to be asleep, but I was awake for some reason, and it's like, oh, well, okay, great. Awesome. Today was the first day the kid was back at school and stuff, so getting up was kind of a problem after 2 or 3 weeks of sleeping in, having a real weird nap schedule, because typically the nap's at like noon, and yesterday she wanted to nap at 3:30. I was like, no, you're not napping at 3:30. You're staying awake now and just falling asleep on the couch, just eyes rolling back of her head. And then finally about 7:15 last night, we're like, all right, that's fine. We're good.
Go to bed.
Yeah. She woke up quite angry this morning around 7:15.
Yeah, did not want to get up.
Oh, no. Yelling at you. Would have punched me had I allowed her to. She was not having it.
Wanted to sleep in a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at there. Also,
welcome to the real world. You don't always get what you want.
Well, I'm having this little problem right now because she has gotten obsessed with horses. She's only 2. She turns 3 in March, but she has really good balance. No credit to mine. She's adopted. And she has been around my uncle and my dad's side of the family's horses, and on, I guess, Sunday, she rode like a full-size horse, even at 2 years old. She can stay on it. She's fine. She knows how to hold on, and I was talking to our buddy Ben Craddock because his daughter does equestrian, and I'm like, I'm not trying to do equestrian. I'm just trying to put her on a horse and try to figure out a way to kind of stimulate that, see if it's something that's real or if it's just, hey, I like animals and a horse is just my flavor for the week or what.
Buy a pony. Set that thing free in the backyard, see what happens.
I'm not buying a pony.
She could ride that pony around all day long.
Where would you like me to put the pony?
I don't know. That's a you problem.
Apparently, there are some stables I could store said pony in, but I don't think at 2 we're time to buy the pony.
Timeshare a pony. I'm just coming up with some thoughts. You're asking for solutions, and I'm coming up with them.
Put the picture on Twitter the other day. One guy did reply. He goes, "Not what horse? That's my Great Dane. Just throw it right in the backyard. All good."
You could get a Great Dane.
Ride the Great Dane.
And tell her it's a horse.
I wouldn't believe me.
You could get a Great Dane and put a horse costume on it.
I was trying
to pissed off Great Dane, and Carly Ann would not be happy.
I was trying to get her off the horse on Sunday, and I mean, it's a big horse. I'm reaching up to grab, and she's fighting me, holding on to the reins and yelling, "My horse." I'm like, well, no, it's not your horse, and we really need to get you off said horse right now. But
because the horse might not have gotten too terribly happy with all the screaming.
It's probably
and
getting a little annoyed by the pulling and pushing and all the stuff. And
probably anyway. Thinking, this isn't what I signed up for.
No, not so much. So I've got a horse problem right now. Yeah. I did not expect to have a horse problem, but I do. I have a horse problem.
Buy a pony, and when she says, "My horse," you can say, "You're right."
You priced the pony lately?
No, Haley, not mom. I'm not the one buying the pony.
I'm just saying.
I'm having to buy cars and stuff.
You can buy a horse for pretty much whatever price you'd like to buy said horse, like most things.
I would think.
Some cheap-ish horses and some not cheap-ish horses.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're trying to win the Kentucky Derby, it's going to cost you a little more than if you're just trying to get a pony for the backyard.
Even the cheap ones that were kind of like used Hondas. Like, it's not. There's no. Well, and again, we're talking about a human that weighs like 35 pounds. You're going to need one fairly gentle, should you?
And you'll have to feed it.
Feed it, store it, shelter it.
Yeah, they need all that stuff.
They're beings.
Why don't you go buy a farm somewhere?
Thanks. Yeah, let's do that.
She would like it.
No doubt. Loves animals. Every animal.
You buy a farm. Get you some pigs.
That's what I want to do.
Chickens.
Cows.
Yeah, sure.
Get my own milk.
Butter. You could. Get your own eggs.
Really be kind of self-sufficient if you think
would.
About it.
You would. Get you some high-speed internet out there at the ranch. You'd be set. Start off with one pony. Before you know it, you'd have a team of Clydesdales.
Just from a personal experience, we're in this podcast today here. So from a personal, what would either make my life easier or be something fun to do, whatever, What's one thing that if I told you you could pick for Ole Miss to do on the athletic field this year that you would choose? Would you want to cover an NCAA tournament, or you want like 7 football wins just to calm everybody the heck down?
To make my job easier?
Yeah, just for you personally, not from like a fan standpoint, just from a hey, what business, my own sanity, whatever. What do you choose?
Ooh. Well, the obvious answer is they win 7 football games and go.
Because I don't want to go crazy, but you know, 7.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
if
they win every coin flip.
Well, if they won 7 football games, Matt Luke's the SEC Coach of the Year. They're probably the bowls that are smart are begging for them because they would take a gazillion people who would drink the city dry.
Yeah.
That would be good for us from a calm it down standpoint. Answer 2, if you said, well, that's not on the table, might be Anko goes to Omaha and silences that absurdity. Because the people who say Omaha are bust, that's
going to be the rule ever.
Because if that's where you are, you needed to make change. You should have made change before. Not as a fan base, as an administration. And I don't think they view it that way at all.
No, but it's just my program standpoint. There's heavy pressure on me playing that super regional weekend to get out of a regional.
Yeah. The basketball thing, Kermit would disagree, I'm sure, but I would not put that up there this year. But I don't think anybody with any realistic view of the situation expects an NCAA tournament run.
It's fair.
If you're expecting them to be competitive and fun to watch, yes.
I set the goal for them. I did a 10 key dates thing yesterday for 2019. I set the goal for them is to be playing SEC tournament basketball on Thursday.
Yeah, I saw that, and I agree. Preferably playing it with Thursday being your first
game. Right, yeah. You avoid that bottom 4 game on Wednesday was the goal I
set. Yeah, when you're playing on Wednesday, that means your season, it was to some degree failure.
Because if you avoid the 11 through 14, that means you had a decent SEC record. You were not an abomination by any stretch of the imagination.
You finished no worse than 10th in what this year is the deepest league in the country.
Yeah. Last year, 8 got in.
Yeah. I don't think 8 get in this year, but 7 get in. Half the league's making the tournament.
And then I really want to know their record after the first 3 games just to see where things are going from a momentum standpoint. 1-2 is holding serve. 0-3 is a problem, and anything better, and all of a sudden you're really cooking with gas.
Well, you're not overcoming over 0-3.
No. Not if you're trying to get somewhere.
Not if you're if the goal is the NCAA tournament. You're not overcoming 0-3 because that means that you would go. Let me do my quick math here. 11-4 the rest of the way. That's
come
too.
On.
Come on, that's too much to ask of a team that has a glaring deficiency. 1-2, you've got a shot. 2-1, look out. 2-1, they become a completely different story.
If you said they went and won at Vanderbilt and then beat Auburn at home, and all of a sudden,
different narrative.
Yeah, post play is a problem, so we'll see how that shakes out as this thing moves forward.
I've had people say, but in college basketball, guard play is critical, and it is, and their guards are good. But when you suddenly start saying, "Hey, I need these 3 guards to be hot together," game in and game out, shooting 52% to 54%. That is a lot to ask.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some of those dates tomorrow as we move forward the podcast. We'll also talk to Jeffrey. So appreciate it. Again, we're back, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.